Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 11, 25 through 30. Sometimes it's worthwhile reading some of the information beforehand to understand what's going on within the scripture. In verse 16 of this chapter, Jesus refers to the people of his generation, of people that are there at that time, as squabbling children, arguing about things of the world. He then goes on to criticize many of the people that live in the cities who are wrapped up in their worldly wisdom and still don't see Jesus for who he is, the coming Messiah. So one of the things that I'll be reading talks about the weary and the burdened. And that may be even expanded to say those people who are weary of the world's troubles and burdens. And the burden part, because it's been used in other places in the Bible, refers to the burden of the law, trying to live up to the law rather than live up to a relationship with Christ. So bear these things in mind as I read today's scripture lesson, Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Oh, I forgot to put the scripture up. It's been like this all morning. I just started the holiday a little early, I guess. Sorry about that. A welcome on this 4th of July weekend. Tomorrow we are celebrating one of the most remarkable documents ever written. We know it as the Declaration of Independence. We give thanks to God for our freedom, and we pray that a day when all the world's people will be free. There's a delightful story about an elderly lady who always wanted to travel abroad, so she had to go and get her passport. So she went to the passport office and asked how long it would take to have her passport issued. The clerk told her that she would have to take a loyalty oath first. Said, "Raise your right hand." Lady did what she was told and said, "Do you swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, domestic or foreign?" And she heard that and her face grew pale and she trembled and she asked in a very small voice, You mean all by myself?" Well, that would be a big responsibility if you had to defend the United States against all enemies, domestic and foreign, by yourself. Our lesson for today is from Matthew. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What an interesting lesson, I think, for this weekend. I say it is interesting because there's a statue that stands in the New York Harbor that we all know about, welcoming immigrants from almost every land on this earth. We know her as the Statue of Liberty. Within the pedestal on which this great statue stands is a poem by Emma Lazarus, graven on a tablet with these immortal words that describe the highest ideals of this nation of immigrants. I'll be with y'all in a minute. Give to me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse to your teeming shore. Send these, your homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Today, we as a nation may not be quite as willing to extend that invitation as we once were. But thankfully, Christ still extends his invitation to all who would heed it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you know what it is to be really tired? I think I must be this morning, so bear with me. But I was amused to read an incident about Yosemite National Park. Some of you are probably familiar with the gigantic dome in that park called Half Dome. You've probably seen it. Maybe some of you climbed up to it. But it rises up 4,737 feet above the valley floor. In 1993, a woman called 9/11 from the top of the Half Dome, saying that she was really tired, and she was using her cell phone, of course, and said, "You know, I'm on the top of this dome, and I'm really, really tired." The answering ranger asked her if she felt sick, if she was ill, if something really wrong. She said, no, I'm just really tired, and I want my friends to drive to the base and come pick me up. The dispatcher explained that she would have to descend down the trail the same way that she ascended up. But she said, "You don't understand. I'm really, really tired." And the ranger said he got really blessed because her cell phone battery died right in the middle of the conversation and he didn't have to deal with her anymore. But anyone who's ever gone on a long hike like that knows what it is to just be bone tired, and you get somewhere and you say, "Oh, I've got to go all the way back now." It can be a long journey. Some of you parents, some of you mothers know what it's like to be really bone dead tired taking care of your children or your grandchildren. I heard of a mom who was playing cops and robbers in the backyard one summer evening, and her little boy pointed the gun at her and said, "Bang, you're dead." And she fell to the ground, and she lay there, and she just lay there. And a neighbor saw this, and the neighbor got all worried and ran over to her. He said, "Are you okay?" And the mother didn't even lift her head, but just raised up one eye and said, "Shh, this is the only rest I get. Go away." Hikers and busy moms aren't the only ones that just feel tired and just drained of their energy sometimes. Pastor and author Gordon MacDonald says that his father taught him that to ski when he was a young boy. And he says he remembers one of the first pieces of advice that he gave him about skiing. He said, "Remember, son, more accidents happen at the end of the day when you are tired than they do at the beginning of the day when you are fresh mentally and physically." So trying to get one more downhill run in before the ski row closes, some skiers will rush down the slope, forgetting that their bodies are tired and that the reflexes are no longer sharp. Shadows are long and icy and bare spots hidden. The combinations of a depleted body and obstacles not easily seen creates conditions in which accidents are far more likely to happen. He said, "You know, my dad was right. And at the end of the day, it is wise to ski much more cautiously. You can be more tired than you realize. Plus, you can't always trust the terrain." Fatigue has been a factor in many tragic accidents. When I was in college in Houston, Texas, and I was working my way through college at Southwest Oilfield Products as a machinist, I had a best friend by the name of Rick Gonzalez, Mexican-American young man. He was married, had a beautiful little baby girl. And he took a preaching engagement to go do a revival at a small church. Both in school full-time, working full-time, he did the preaching and was coming back late at night on the interstate. He fell asleep, ran into the pillar on the interstate, killed himself, his wife, and his baby. Tragic. Sleep. Lack of sleep. Fatigue. Poor reaction time. According to the Sleep Foundation, more than 60% of Americans get less than 8 hours of sleep. This is the rest that the average American requires. Some people less, some people more. But 43% of Americans report that several days each month they're too sleepy to perform efficiently at work or at home. On a less dramatic scale, how many of us are grouchy or short-tempered with loved ones simply and solely because we are tired? If Robin was here right now, she'd be saying amen. It's almost as if Christ had us in mind when he spoke those beautiful words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." You realize, of course, a tired body is preceded by a tired mind. Not always, of course. Some people are tired because they do hard physical labor. Others are tired because of strenuous recreational exercise, though not as many as you would think. Many people are running or swimming or basketball or some other strenuous sport will tell you that over time, exercise actually gives you more energy in the long run. The worst thing you can do is just become a couch potato because you lose the energy that you have. A tired body is preceded by a tired mind. Of course, I realize that exercise is not for everybody. One man said his doctor told him that jogging would add 10 years to his life. Man started jogging and he said, "You know, I think he was right. I feel 10 years older already." Another guy said, He said that he had finished his 50th push-up this morning. That's pretty good. Finished his 50th push-up. But he said, "Well, you know, I started back in 2005. But I got that 50th push-up in." Dr. George, my daughter told me, and y'all didn't know this, but he told me that he wanted me to get up early in the morning and jog around the block 6 times. So I've been getting up every morning at 6 o'clock and jogging around the block 6 times. So I do it religiously. 6 times, jog around the block every morning. Then I kick that block back under the bed and I crawl right back into bed and go back to sleep. Makes me feel so refreshed. Sleep like a baby after that. Yeah. Most of us are not tired from straining our muscles. Most of us are tired because of mental things that stress us out. I know that's what most of my tiredness comes from. It takes energy to deal with customers all day long, draining to sit in front of a computer screen all day long. Many have jobs that are repetitive, doing the same thing over and over and over. It drags and drains you. And you come home and you're tired and you don't feel like doing anything. You don't want to take care of the kids. You don't want to cook dinner or supper. Work in the yard. Just want to kind of be left alone. But then something quite interesting happens. Somebody calls you and say, "You want to go dancing? You want to go bowling? You want to go see a movie?" Something that you enjoy. And all of a sudden, you're refreshed. It's because you become mentally stimulated and it's something that you enjoy. And so you become revived and you're ready to go again. You get a burst of energy. And it's not because of Red Bull. Well, maybe it is. It's amazing how much energy people have, though, who are driven by a sense of purpose. Do you have a sense of purpose about anything in your life? Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that the power of the Gulf Stream will flow through an ordinary drinking straw if you put it parallel to the Gulf Stream. It'll flow right through it, all that power. And the same is true of our lives. If we can align them with a sense of purpose, and if we can align them with God's perfect will for our lives. The yoke suggests that we're getting prepared to work in concert, or consort, with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the power of the universe, the Creator. The rest that Jesus gives is not the rest of lying around on the couch doing nothing, which is good to do sometimes. Please don't get me wrong. I love to do that. The rest it gives us is the power of a renewed mind and a refreshed spirit. It is the rest of a sense of purpose within our lives. One of the great missionaries of the 20th century was a man named E. Stanley Jones. Jones is a man of amazing energy. He wrote several books, best-selling books, and it's hard to imagine that his career was once threatened and nearly cut short by chronic worry and fatigue. When he first arrived in India, Jones wore himself out by working, but more of it was by worrying all the time. When he first arrived in India, Jones wore himself out working and worrying. He said, "I was suffering so severely from brain fatigue and nervous exhaustion," he said, "I later collapsed, not once, but several times." Literally collapsed. He said, aboard a ship returning to America, Jones collapsed again, and the doctors put him to bed. After a year's rest, he attempted to return to India, but became a bundle of nerves and collapsed again, and landed in Bombay a broken man. And his colleagues warned him to get out of this. It was literally, this anxiety was going to kill him. While praying one night, groping in emotional darkness, Jones seemed to have heard a voice ask him, Are you yourself ready for this work to which I have called you?" He said, "No, Lord, no, I'm not. I'm done for. I have reached the end of my resources." The voice seemed to say, "If you will turn that over to me and not worry about it, I will take care of it." Jones answered, "Lord, I close the bargain right here. From now on, I will let you take care of it." A great sense of peace, Jones said, came over him. He felt a rush of abundant life that seemed as it lifted him off his feet. His energy returned, his enthusiasm bubbled up, and he was able to get back to work with a vitality that he had never known in his life. Maybe you and I need to bargain with God and to turn our lives and our worries and our frets over to God and let him handle it. I found out in my own life I can't handle those things. All it does is beat me down. So many of us are tired because of mental and emotional conflicts that are draining us of our energy. And all of us need to turn our worries and our concerns, our doubts and our fears and our anxieties over to God. As your worries and your concerns, your doubts and your fears, just let me ask you this. Have they helped you? Then why keep doing it? If it's not helping, try something different. To be yoked to Christ is to have new purpose and new power. The elderly lady who went to the passport office didn't want to feel the weight of protecting the Constitution of the United States on her shoulders alone. And this is a common mistake. Many of us are trying to shoulder our burdens alone, burdens that Christ wants to shoulder for us. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, a yoke is most commonly associated with oxen and other animals that are harnessed together so they can help a farmer plow. To be yoked with Christ is to allow Him to shoulder the burden of our daily lives, not just something big that comes along, but an everyday yoking with Christ. Carrying the problems for us, not putting them on our shoulders, but saying, "Here, Christ, you take the burdens. I can't handle them. They're just too big. And all these little burdens are starting to push me down." Dr. Herb True tells about a conversation he had with the trainer of Clydesdale horses. He said, "One Clydesdale horse alone can pull a weight of 7,000 pounds. Can you imagine that, pulling 7,000 pounds? Now, if you yoke two Clydesdale horses together, they can pull 18,000 pounds. That's a little more than double. And that's tremendous. But if you take those two same Clydesdale horses and you work with them and train them to work in tandem together, those same two Clydesdale horses go from 7 to 18 to pulling 25,000 pounds, more than triple what one can pull. Learning to work together. Husbands and wives need to work together. Not pulling apart, going in different directions is so easy. We start fighting for power in relationships, seeing who can get the upper hand. I want it this way. No, I want it this way. And we do it in church, too. We do it on our boards and our committees. I want it this way. No, I want it this way. Let's see who's got the most power. Let's see who can bull through and get it their way. Which what we need to be doing is always making sure, are we doing it God's way? Am I really doing what God wants done? Even in business, when you get people working together, it's called synergy. Get two people complementing one another, working in tandem, and more can be done together. Get the boards and the people of the church working together, communicating well, and more can be done. Because lack of communication causes problem. Good communication causes things to work together and move forward productively. The English theologian F.B. Meyer once visited the American evangelist Dwight Moody in Northfield, Massachusetts. And Moody showed Meyer a team of oxen. And he brought one oxen over and he put the yoke on. And then all of a sudden the oxen that was way over in the other field came running over to be yoked automatically with the other oxen. He didn't just stand over there bullheaded and say, I'm not yoking with that oxen. I'm not working with him. No way. Want nothing to do with him. Have you seen him? Have you talked to this oxen? We can't get along. I don't like him. He's no good. But he comes over and he stands in there and he waits to be yoked together in commonality. And then they start plowing that field together. And that's how Christ wants it for us. I'm not saying it's easy, my friends, because it's not always easy. But that's what Christ is requiring and calling us to do. To try to yoke ourselves together through Him and work together as families at home and then as family here at Glenshaw Valley. And even in your places of employment, the best you can to work together for your business. Sometimes we don't want to do that. We just out of business. But man, be thankful you got a job in this economy. Do your best that you can. Jesus stands with the yoke upon his shoulder. He calls each one and says, "Come and share my yoke and let us plow together the long furrow of your life. I will be the true yoke fellow to you. The burden shall be on me." How about you? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you ready to trust him with your worries and emotional conflicts? Are you tired of being the lone wolf? Because you know something? I hate that terminology. There is no such thing as a lone wolf. Wolves run in packs. You know why they howl? Because they're trying to find their pack. They're reaching out to the pack to come to them, so they can find their pack, to get back into that pack. We don't need any lone wolves. We need to work as a team, and we need to work with our leader, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Amen.